It's awfully boisterous in here. We must be super excited for another fun day of water infrastructure projects in the Capital Investment Committee. I promise you a good time. I know. I'm so excited to be here today. Members, we have a busy, busy day. I think testifiers will have what? Do we have, what is it, 5 minutes?
Are these on?
Okay. Strict 5 minute time frame on your presentations. So members, I know you love to hear yourself talk, but I think your testifiers would do best to shine in this tight schedule. Also, let's see here. Representative Carroll, could I get a motion to approve the minutes from Tuesday, March 25th?
Madam Chair, I would be honored to make a motion.
I know, because you were paying attention.
So moved.
Thank you. All right. So, members, do we have any discussion on the minutes from February 25th? Okay. None? No concerns? Great. Seeing none, minutes are approved. And Representative Gilman, we are going to move on right to you to House File 942 for the City of Silver Lake. And now that Silver Lake is in front of us, you'll stop twisting our arms for a committee hearing. So you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair Franzen. My name is Don Gilman, and I'm very happy to have testifiers here today from Silver Lake. And I think what I'll do is I'll just let them go right into it, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Mayor Bruce Bebo, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. We brought a little gift for you to take a look at, our lovely water.
Oh, and I thought it was candy.
As it goes around, be sure to, if you go 1, 2, and 3, the first one came out of our fire hydrant after running for about 30 seconds. Then he waited, number 2, after 30 seconds, and number 3, another 30. So if you shake it up, you can imagine what that water is like. So anyway, I guess we're here today to, this is the third time. I think some of you visited us last year out in our city. I don't know if you were on the committee or not. Our population is obviously small, about 866 people, and what we're dealing with is a major infrastructure project right now. We have numerous water breaks, things like that, and we're in the middle of it. Actually, it's going to start next week. And a few of our unfunded things, which we are really struggling with, is our water treatment, as you can see, is terrible, really bad, and also our water storage, which our water tower is 100 years old, and it's does not have the capacity that we need. And many, many other things that's happened to us. I'll use an example. Yesterday, we had a water main break, and the way everything is set up, we had to shut the whole city down to make a repair, which is not a good thing. There's a few other things that, you know, we're trying to be a growing city, and some of the things that hinder us is what you're looking at, is that water. We have a great culture. We have a great schooling system. We have our own ambulance. We have our own fire department. We have all that. People come trying to move in or build, they say, one of the questions, rightfully so, is what's the water like? Guess how that works out. If you look at those, you know, everybody has their water filter systems in their homes, but it doesn't help with the bathing and the washing the clothes. The number 2, when you turn the water on, if you shake that number 2 up many times, that's what comes out in the bathtubs. So consequently, that's not filtered. So anyway, the many things that we have going, as you can see, our project, I believe you have the handout. And so there's a lot of details on that. We have a $23 million infrastructure project, but there's numerous things like the water treatment and the water capacity and all that is not funded. And it's really tough to do that. So that's kind of where we're at. And I can turn it over to Sam. He has some technical things for you.
Sure. Just real quick on the water quality levels, you know, we test for iron, manganese, and ammonia right when it comes out of the well, and there is no treatment of the water at this moment. So the current iron levels are at 0.90 milligrams per liter, and the secondary treatment drinking water standard is at 0.3 milligrams per liter, so it's 3 times the amount, so we're exceeding it times 3. Manganese levels are at 0.13 milligrams per liter. Maximum per SWD standards is 0.05 milligrams per liter. So it's almost 3 times the minimum amounts as well on that. So those are just what the iron and manganese look like. Kind of want to go back to what the overall scope of the project is. What Bruce was talking about is We actually have a $33 million of infrastructure improvements that are needed throughout the city of Silver Lake. $24 million of the $33 million are currently being funded through rural development, but that does not include the treatment of the water. So that's what the big ask is to cover the remaining $9 million that is left unfunded from rural development. And you can see at the bottom of the handout that it's broken out into the different phases that we propose to go through the rest of the project to get all the needs for Silver Lake. So the number one thing that Silver Lake is requesting is the $3 million water treatment facility. That would treat this water so when residents turn their water on, it doesn't come out looking like this, and when they bathe, it doesn't come out looking like this.
Okay.
Thank you for that presentation. Members, do we have any questions with 30 seconds left? All right, seeing none. Representative Gilman, final thoughts on your House File 942.
And I just want to say Senator Glenn Grunhagen is also getting this heard over in the Senate, and we're just really thankful for the opportunity to be able to share. This has been a long-standing request for years, so really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Chair, for hearing this.
All right. Thank you so much for making your way down to St. Paul. We appreciate you advocating for your city.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
I'll take my gift with.
Next up, we have Representative Igel, followed by Representative Nadeau. If Representative Nadeau wants to make his way back with his testifiers, that would be awesome. All right, Representative Igel, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franson, members of the committee. In front of us today, we have House File 2178, which is bonding for $2.5 million to the city of Cohasset, located in Itasca County in northern Minnesota, for a water tower project, which is critically important to the city's future needs. The city of Cohasset is a transition community that is host to the Boswell Energy Center, a coal-fired power plant. And the city is doing every step it can right now to make sure that their city infrastructure is well prepared not only for future business development, but for future residential development. As we continue to grow communities like Cohasset and bring more people home to live in northern Minnesota, it's projects like these that are going to help the livelihood and prosperity of communities. So with that, I'll hand off to my testifier, who is a city councilor from the city of Cohasset.
Thank you for being here, and you may state your name for the record and proceed, Mayor.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you. My name is Andy McDonald. I am currently a Cohasset City Councilor, former mayor. We are in need of some water tower maintenance. Our water does not look as bad as that, so I'm thankful for that, but it will if we don't do our maintenance. we also have a second water tower that will be coming due in about 5 years that will need about the same amount of maintenance. The second part of this bill is water and sewer infrastructure along Pacagama Lake. As many of you know, Pacagama Lake or Itasca County has over 1,000 lakes, and we love our water up there in our wilderness. The water and sewer, there's 16 phases. We're asking for help with phase one and two here to start the project. Just a little backdrop, when Huber Wood Products was coming to town, this was all drawn up, and if Huber was here, I wouldn't be here asking you for money, because with that business and that economic development in town, we would have been able to take care of that ourselves. Moving forward, in lieu of that, we need some help to help get sewer off the lake so it's not contaminating the lake. There's septic systems along the lake that are failing that need to be replaced. Some of these lot sizes along the lakes are not conducive for a second new system, so there's a lot of heartburn and a lot of issues with space, and the water and sewer infrastructure would be ideal to help clean up the lake and keep it clean.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Members, any questions for the city of Cohasset? Okay, seeing none, Representative Igel, final words.
Thank you, Chair Franson, members of the committee, for giving us time today to present this really important bill. Again, it's so important that we can find ways to invest in communities like this. And I appreciate the councilor saying how we had mechanisms to do this, but because we're having other issues outside of this committee that pertain to permitting reform and other things, we're losing projects that would help pay for these. And that's what brings us to a committee like this, to be able to ask for the support so we can continue to support these communities, support the residents, and support further business development. And I hope we can find some support inside the bonding bill this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igo. I, too, hope for some support for a bonding bill this year. That is our goal. And I know that you are a great advocate for the Iron Range, so thank you so much for that. And, Mayor, thank you for making your way down to the Capitol as well.
Thank you very much, committee, and Representative Igo, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Representative Nadeau, you are up with two bills, followed by Representative Warwas. Representative Warwas, please make your way up and have a seat with your testifiers. Representative Nadeau, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm Danny Nadeau. I represent Rogers, Dayton, and Champlin, and I'm here today with two requests for the city of Rogers, and I'm going to introduce both of them and turn them over to my testifiers. Number one is for a turnback. It's Main Street. It's between two county roads. It's a vital part of Rogers that we've been working on for decades, trying to get this thing done. We wouldn't be here if we didn't need the state's help. The second one is for a Rogers Public Safety Training and Emergency Operations Center. Rogers is one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing community in Hennepin County. We have lots of development, we have lots of growth, and we have lots of needs. So, and with that, I would like to turn it over to Mayor Shannon Click.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Mayor Shannon Click. Thank you for your time today. Our Rogers Main Street project is 20 years in the making, and it is two phases. So the request today is for the second phase. The first phase was a Fletcher bypass project, which we were fortunate enough to just receive funding, federal funding for. And that the purpose of that bypass is to connect two county roads in Rogers and alleviate some traffic on our main street. And when that project is done in 2026, our second phase is for the county, Hennepin County, to turn over Main Street to the city of Rogers. Currently, it's County State Highway 150. Currently, the project is about estimated to be about $10 million and it includes a full reconstruction of the street, the utilities, and we're intending to do some traffic improvements, some safe routes to school improvements, and a couple roundabouts. And so currently the city of Rogers has budgeted $2 million in MSA funds, $250 in franchise funds, city funds of $500,000, capital funds of $400,000, and utility funds of $700,000. And the city of the county has committed $1.15 million. So that total is $5 million of that $10 million. And so the flyer that we've shared is just the breakout of those funds and just a highlight of what that will look like. So today our main street is very congested with traffic because of everyone is going down the main street, primarily commuters, trying to get from one side of the town to the other. So we are hoping for this $5 million capital budget request in order to complete that project. Thank you for your time.
Okay, so members, I believe we skipped 318 and we're on House File 319, if you're curious.
319 now.
Yep, okay. So,
318 now.
Well,
Public Safety Training Facility, the chief.
Okay, so I thought we were on 319. I'm so confused here. So we're talking about 318. All right, so. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. So my question is, Plymouth shares, along with Maple Grove and Hennepin County, with the Public Safety Training Facility in Maple Grove. Why aren't you part of that? And would that make sense? Thank you.
If you want to state your name for the record, and you may answer the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. My name is Dan Wills. I'm the Chief of Police for the City of Rogers. I'll just quickly go into the next bill here and discuss the public safety campus, and then I'll address your question. I think we just got a little bit out of order on these.
That's what I was thinking, out of order.
I think the public safety was first in the Main Street Turnpike.
Sorry about that.
Yep, public safety is first, 318. That's why I said we must have skipped and went straight to 319. So we're discussing which bill now? 319. We're on 319. So, okay. Representative Perez Vega.
I have a question regards to 318. Since
okay, so
the mayor.
Apparently we're discussing 318.
Okay, so we'll go back to that.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Yep. So we're talking about House File 319, Rogers Main Street, which is what I originally thought we were talking about. No questions on House File 319? Great. We will move to House File 318 now, which is the Public Safety Training Facility. Now, members, are we all on the same page? Representative Perez Vega.
Sorry, Madam Chair. We're just flip-flopping away over here with the confusion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving quick, I actually have a question regards to the Main Street turnback, which is 319.
Okay.
I apologize, not 318.
So we will go back to 319.
For the mayor, I have a
Correct.
Question for the mayor.
Representative Perez Vega, please state your question for the mayor.
So you had mentioned that the city has 1.5 million addressed to this project?
We have 5
mayor?
Million committed. Including 1.15 from the Hennepin County.
Okay, just wanted to get that clear.
Yeah.
All right,
you.
Representative Perez Vega, thank you. Please remember to go through the chair, okay?
Sorry.
This is not a free-for-all, people, all right? We would like it to be, but... all right, any other member questions? Representative Carroll, 319, House File 319.
Thank you, and I'll save my other question for when that other project. So we had a turn back in Plymouth, County Road, formerly County Road 47, now Chancata Trail. And it was a complete reconstruction because it was over a 100-year-old road, very unsafe, a lot of elevation and turns and things like that. It was completely reconstructed. We worked with the county somewhat to get some funding because we were taking, Plymouth was taking it off of the county's hands. And it was a $30 million project for a complete reconstruction and straightening of curbs and things like that. And we only got $5 million. So proportionally, you guys are doing really well. How did you do it?
Okay. Who would like to take that question? Mayor?
Sure.
Mayor Click?
Mm-hmm. Chair and members of the committee, we were not on Hennepin County's radar probably a couple years ago. So the federal funding for the first phase kind of got the ball rolling. And the second phase was part of the original plan. Once we got the federal funding for first phase, the turn back was planned as the second phase. So there was a little funding for first phase and a little funding for the second phase planned long term. But they weren't going to start the project until we got that first round of federal funding to make the project kind of a reality.
Okay. Are we good, Representative Carroll?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. Closing thoughts on House File 319, or can we just wait? You can wrap up with 318. Great. Okay, we're going to move to House File 318 now, members. We're moving backwards. Public Safety Training Facility and Emergency. Representative Nadeau.
I'm going to turn it right over to the chief.
Wonderful. Please state your name for the record, Chief Wills, and you may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dan Wills, Chief of Police for the City of Rogers. And today we're requesting $8 million for a $22 million public safety campus that will be part of a city hall in the future. In 2012, the city of Rogers was 9 square miles, and literally overnight we expanded to 26 square miles when we annexed the township of Hassan. That increased our calls for service by 300% and our population by 30%. As a quick stopgap for a public safety facility, the city purchased a tile shop, retrofitted it, and that's currently what our police department is right now, which is woefully inadequate for our growing spacing needs. There's offices right now where we have 3 people within an office, sometimes 4, and our officers don't have the adequate space they need to expand their training. So a new campus training facility will incorporate the 4 tenets of training, integrated social services, and an emergency operations center, and focus on officer wellness. I just want to talk briefly about all 4 of those. So as far as training goes, as this committee is probably very aware, the way officers train has changed quite a bit, especially over the past 5 years, for the better. Much of our focus now is on de-escalation strategies. I'm happy to report that in Rogers, since we changed how we train, we enjoyed a 56% reduction in our use of force incidents in just 1 year. But the problem that we're running into is we don't have the adequate training space to work on these de-escalation strategies outside what it used to be, which is just typical use of force training and firearms. We also don't have an adequate emergency operations center, so this would also include that. Back in 2006, the city of Rogers experienced a tornado where, sadly, a young girl perished in that tornado. Right after that, there was nothing that we had for an emergency operations center outside of working out of the back of our pickup trucks to try to figure out how we were going to integrate services and coordinate with emergency responders. The third phase is integrated social services. As you may be aware, Hennepin County has an embedded social worker program, which has been very productive. We partnered with the cities of Champlin and Dayton from the years 2022 to 2024, and we had over 400 referrals to our social worker just in Rogers. In 2025, we added our own full-time social worker, but again, there's not adequate space for us to meet the needs of our community members who on a daily basis are asking more and more for our from our police officers to give back to them. And then lastly, officer recruitment, retention, and wellness. Officer wellness has been a big priority of mine. 5 years ago, we had an officer in Rogers commit suicide, and since then, we made it a priority within our city to make sure that we are taking care of officers holistically, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. We don't have any of those spaces right now, and so this bonding proposal that I'm presenting today would adequately address those four tenants that we have within this bill.
Representative Carroll. Oh, well, Representative Scrabo, sorry.
Beach and Ed.
Mm-hmm. I got one.
Thank you, Chair. Chief, it says police department only. How much is the whole project, or maybe either of you, what, for the city hall? What's the cost of the total project?
Mayor Kleck.
I don't have that handy.
I think I can speak to it.
Chief, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee. Right now, the proposal, the police department alone is $22 million as part of about a $45 million project.
Okay. All right. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I think I have my question answered. I think just putting public safety training facility was perhaps was a misnomer in my mind, so I'll withdraw the question. Thank you.
Okay. All right, seeing no other questions, Representative Nadeau, would you like comments, final comments on your last two bills here?
Thank you. I'm sorry I confused the this at the beginning. My apologies. I just want to reiterate how important it is and how important Rogers has worked together to partner with the communities up in its area, working with Hennepin County, bringing Hennepin County kind of to the table when they are resistant. And I just hope we can be considered for the bonding bill for this year. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for making your way down to the Capitol to testify today. Appreciate you and your time. Thanks, Representative Nadeau. Next up, we have Representative Warwas with House File 1287. You have two bills. And then we're going to have Representative Zalesnikar up after that. So please make your way to the back of the testifying table and with your testifiers. Representative Warwas, House File 1287, you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair Lee, and members of the committee for this opportunity this morning to present. House File 1287 is a Virginia City Hall HVAC and window improvement project. This historic building was completed in 1924 and has had very few upgrades, with the tilt-out aluminum windows, uninsulated windows, that were completed in 1957. Here with me today is Councillor Annie Bachschneider, and I'm very glad to have her to explain more about their project.
All right. You may state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Annie Bachschneider, and I am a city councilor for the City of Virginia. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about a critical investment in our historic City Hall. Virginia City Hall was constructed in 1923 to 1924 in the colonial Georgian style, and it has remained a center point for our community for a century. While the building's exterior has been largely preserved, necessary modifications have been made to accommodate modern office spaces inside. Inside, we have retained many of its original architectural features, including an oak and iron staircase railing and a beautiful stained glass rosette window. However, there are pressing infrastructure concerns that we must now address to ensure its longevity. We are requesting $2.5 million to support the Virginia City Hall HVAC and window improvement project, which consists of replacing 60 outdated windows that were installed in 1957 and are no longer energy efficient, converting the building's municipal steam heating system to a more efficient natural gas system, installing a variable refrigerant flow HVAC system to provide a modern climate control throughout the building, and making modern interior modifications to accommodate these improvements while maintaining the historic character of the building. The need for this project is clear. Our current heating system is outdated and inefficient, leading to high operational costs and inconsistent heating throughout the building. Additionally, the old windows are not properly insulated, contributing to the energy loss and increased utility expenses. Throughout the winter, utility expenses are as much as $6,000 to $8,000 per month. By modernizing these systems, we will improve energy efficiency, reduce costs, and ensure that Virginia City Hall remains a functional, historic asset for years to come. We appreciate your consideration and your investment in the future of Virginia City Hall. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for that. Do you have anything to add to the testifying? Okay. Members, do we have any questions? Yes, Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for whoever wants to answer it. Due to the history and the location of Virginia, I've visited quite a few, but in the tribal reservations that are surrounding, are there any inclusivity in the plans for like artistic participation or any involvement with the indigenous community?
Representative Warboss?
I would defer to Annie, but I think there are some historical...
Ms. Bachschneider?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know throughout the duration of this project that it will be paramount to remain the historical throughout the building, that it is a historical building. It's on the historical list. So if that is included, then yes, absolutely. I think that...
We can get back to you on that.
Yeah, too. I think we'll get back to you on that.
Okay. And so just make sure you get back. Yep. Members, any further questions? No? Okay, seeing none. Representative Warboss, we will move then next to House File 571 for the City of Chisholm.
I appreciate that, Madam Chair, Co-Chair Lee, and members of the committee. Here today to present HF 571, which would provide $300,000 in state funding to support public infrastructure for the Wenton Addition housing development in Chisholm, Minnesota, which is a thoughtfully designed market-rate housing development that emphasizes natural features and sustainability. And this would be the first major housing expansion in Chisholm in over two decades, which is urgently needed. The total infrastructure cost for the development is $2.5 million, but the ask from this committee is $300,000. We feel it's a modest request and appreciate your consideration. And here to tell you more about it is Chisholm City Administrator Stephanie Scraba.
Hi, Ms. Scraba, you may state your name for the record and you may proceed. Are you related to Representative Scraba? We just got to know.
We are not related.
Okay, thank gosh, because I did not need a testifier to talk a lot.
Madam Chair, would you admit it?
I did say the only question I may get is if I'm related to Roger.
You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Co-Chair Franz and Co-Chair Lee and members of the committee. My name is Stephanie Scraba, and I am here on behalf of the City of Chisholm to discuss a critical investment in public infrastructure that will support a much-needed housing development in our community. The Wenton Addition is a new housing development located in Chisholm. This project aims to meet the growing demand for housing in the region, where our last major residential development occurred in the early 2000s. Phase one of the Wenton Addition includes the development of 30 residential lots to attract families, workforce members, and retirees seeking to remain in the region. Many prospective residents are drawn to Chisholm for its unique access to outdoor recreation, including the Redhead Mountain Bike Park, numerous lakes, and beautiful hiking trails. The ability to live near such amenities enhance the appeal of this development and contributes to the overall quality of life for future homeowners. However, the success of this project hinges on a significant public infrastructure buildout. The estimated infrastructure cost for phase one is $2.5 million, which includes water, sewer, streets, sidewalks, and utilities necessary to prepare the site for development. Today, I'm requesting $300,000 investment to support these infrastructure improvements. This funding will play a pivotal role in ensuring that the project moves forward by closing the financial gap and making these lots ready for housing development. The Wenton addition aligns with broader regional goals to enhance housing availability, attract new residents, and revitalize the local economy. By investing in this project, the state of Minnesota will help create opportunity for growth and sustainability in Chisholm and across the whole Iron Range. I appreciate your consideration and support for this essential infrastructure investment. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Members, any questions? Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this presentation. My question is, I served on the Plymouth City Council before I came here, and oftentimes when a project came through and requested TIF financing, we would have them provide, like, for example, 10% affordability. I don't see that in this. Have you considered that? And if not, why not?
Ms. Scraba.
I assume you have affordable housing needs in Chisholm.
Ms. Scraba.
Yes, that is correct. We do have multifaceted housing needs in Chisholm. This particular development is market rate. We are working on other developments that would fall under the affordable housing to fulfill that requirement. But this particular housing is only market rate housing.
Representative Carroll.
Quick follow-up. What's market rate up there?
Well, it changes every day.
Of course it does.
Realistically, probably anywhere between $350 to $550 to build a new home.
Okay. All right. I'm surprised you're not overrun with requests to move there.
What was that?
Okay. Representative Warwas, final question or final comments on your bills?
Just thank you, Chair and members of the committee, Co-Chair Lee, for your consideration on these projects, which will preserve history, bring us into some efficiency in Virginia, and also thank you for the consideration of the forward-thinking project that Chisholm is trying to build out. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for presenting. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol and advocating for your city of Chisholm. Appreciate that. So next, we're going to actually skip Representative Lesknar for just a hot second. We're going to move to Representative Rarick, Chair Rarick. Please make your way down to the testifying table with your presenters, and you may state your name for the record and proceed with House File 1043.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's my honor to present House File 1043 this morning, which is a $10.5 million request for critical infrastructure for the Wright Technical Center located in Buffalo. The Wright Technical Center is an independent cooperative school district that serves 8 member school districts in both Wright and Sherbourne County. And in its history, it served more than 30,000 students since its inception. I do want to note that it is the last surviving vocational co-op left in the state of Minnesota. Again, the last surviving vocational co-op in the state of Minnesota. Without this funding, it may not continue as well. As a vocational co-op, they do not have levy authority. So even though they are a school district, they do not have levy authority. I have personally toured the facility, as have several people on this committee. The chair is nodding, she has as well. And you can see with your own eyes how difficult and how challenging the infrastructure is there, from HVAC systems to their electrical systems to their roofs. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to the Wright Technical Center's Executive Director, Brian Kozlowski, to tell you more.
Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Yes, good morning. Brian Kozlowski, Executive Director of the Wright Technical Center. And Chair Franzen and members of the committee, thank you so much for hearing me this morning and of our request for assistance. Representative Rarick had mentioned too, the Wright Technical Centers are one of the original vocational cooperatives, you know, and under a joint powers agreement in 1972, it was established. And now in our 53rd year, as we approach, you know, our next 50 years, we want to make certain that our programs are sustainable, but it happens through our maintaining of our facilities. There isn't a facility in the state that a school district in the state that over a period of time hasn't received funding either through bonding requests or other assistance within their taxpayers and their local tax base to be able to meet the needs of their districts. So with ever-growing shortage of skilled laborers and opportunity for meeting challenges employers face with filling these positions, it's a huge benefit not only for business industry but for the local, regional, and state economy. Just walking up to the Capitol building with the construction that's taking place across the street, you recognize all of the contractors and all the laborers and everybody working that either received their training formally within an educational facility, such as our own at Wright Tech Center or post-secondary, or with an on-the-job training or youth apprenticeship. We are in desperate need of facility maintenance. The original building, now 53-year-old, as I stated, is in urgent need of maintenance, replacement or repairs, essential infrastructure. We have two mechanical rooftop units that are of 27 years old. The electrical panel replacement is mentioned, and pavement and access. Programmatic moves, we have a cosmetology program that's located just outside of our main 85,000-square-foot building. It has water, heat, electricity, of course, but it does not have restroom facilities, and so the students and the staff have to walk across the alley through an auto shop, through the hallway to access bathrooms. And with a programmatic change, we would improve the west end of the building for accommodating two Head Start classrooms that we also leave space to Wright County Community Action, providing opportunities for our early childhood career students. We would move that building back in. Our new addition, 2010, 15 years of age, is in need of important safety measures that unfortunately have become necessities for school districts across the nation. Wright Tech Center does not have levy authority, as mentioned, and this has also caused, you know, not having levy authority for capital or safe schools has caused additional strain on our fund balance, having to purchase, make necessary improvements. Students attending Wright Tech Center have 12 different career advanced tech programs to meet their needs. Programs include automotive technology, graphic communication, health science, law enforcement, EMR, and heavy equipment manufacturing, or heavy equipment machining and operations. Support that we receive from the local 49ers and other critical unions are important for the success and sustainability of our programs and establishing new programs. So as you all review the request, please consider Wright Technical Center as a priority so the last surviving vocational cooperative in the state will continue for the next 53 years or beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Koslowski. Representative Skraba, we are running out of time.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Mr. Koslowski, I noticed at the very end you brought it up, the 49ers. I know the unions are building facilities for training. Have you approached them to see if you guys could work together? Because I've toured, gosh, I don't know how many union facilities, and they're all brand new. And I'm like, you know, maybe this is somewhere where they can work on something. So I'll let you go. Thank you.
Mr. Koslowski.
Chair friends and committee members, thank you for the question. The local 49ers, along with 10 of the largest companies within the county and region and state, helped us start a heavy equipment operation maintenance program last year. We're in our second year. Last year we had 20 students. This year we have 55. They've contributed over $100,000 to the development of an outdoor sandbox. Ziegler Cat has provided two-track loaders and a mini excavator as well as RDO. So the amount of support that they have offered in the development of a new program is we wouldn't have been able to start that program without them.
All right, Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. So, Director Koslowski, you caught my eye with the health services, and I'm just interested in knowing what types of positions people who are coming through that program would be prepared for when they were done. Thank you.
Mr. Koslowski.
Madam Chair Franzen and committee members, thank you. Our health science program currently right now serves about 60 students from the 8-member districts, and they are currently having just completed their state exam for their CNA licensure, and they are juniors and seniors in high school, which are ready to work in nursing homes, and we are so proud of that program, as well as the other programs that we, you know, we meet the needs of students from our districts in our region and our state.
All right, thank you, Representative Ryer. Next up, Representative Perez Vega.
Madam Chair, I was just waving you down for Representative Ryer.
Oh, okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Representative Rarick, final comments?
Thank you so much for hearing this bill. It is really, really critical for all of the 8 school districts surrounding us, and they do really feed the employers some really good employees. So at a young age. So thank you for that question. Thank you, Matt.
All right. Thank you for presenting. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today to advocate for your school. Representative Zaleskinar, House File 401, and then we're going to have Representative Robbins with House File 306. Representative, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Chair Franzen, I'm Representative Natalie Zaleskinar. I represent District 3B up in northern Minnesota. And today, House File 401 is for a capital investment for the city of Rice Lake. And Rice Lake was established in 1900s, but it has grown rapidly. And this bill is for a regional public safety training facility, which is unique because it also offers emergency shelter for the community and surrounding communities. There's 14 townships in my district. Several of them border Rice Lake. And so this is an opportunity for a training center. I'm on the EMS task force. And so obviously making sure that we have training and sustainable ways to do it. And this is a bill for just that. And I will have my testifier explain more.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Chair Franzen, Co-Chair Lee, and members of the committee, my name is Suzanne Hursted, and I'm proud to be the mayor of Rice Lake. I also have with me, this is an honorable mention for my son. He's not skipping school today. He has this week off, and so he came with me today to just do the experience, and then we'll visit some family members soon after. So thank you for allowing me to speak in strong support of House File 401. It's our 2025 bonding request for $8.5 million. Thank you, Representative Zaleskinar, for bringing this bill forward. Rice Lake is nestled in the heart of St. Louis County. It's a small, resilient community with deep roots dating back to the early 1900s. We've grown steadily. We balance progress with also preserving the unique character of our city. Today, Rice Lake is stepping forward to ensure the safety and well-being of not only our residents, but also the neighboring communities. House File 401 provides critical funding to establish a regional public safety training facility. It's a vision that's shared by Rice Lake and also our surrounding cities and townships. This facility includes a vital 17,000 square foot addition and a 7,000 square foot renovation of our current structure. It will house a joint operations center serving Rice Lake and neighbors and offers crucial backup facility for St. Louis County Emergency Operations Center, EOC. Our city has proactively invested resources and is committed to covering any funding gaps. This facility will provide dedicated office space for St. Louis County Sheriff's Department and garage facility for Mayo Ambulance Services. Importantly, it will also serve as an essential community emergency shelter, ensuring public safety during critical times. Projects like this are incredibly challenging for small communities like ours to fund independently. Limited local tax bases make state support important. This bonding request represents a meaningful partnership, ensuring Rice Lake and our neighboring communities can effectively respond to emergencies, train firefighters and EMS personnel efficiently, and enhance regional public safety. On behalf of Rice Lake and our region, I urge your support in House File 401. Together, we can build a safer, stronger future for northern Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Herstead. Co-Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mayor. And so in the bill language, you have language exempting you from the match request. And so is the 8.5 the total cost of the project, or is that half the cost, or what is
that's,
that?
That's the full cost. Thank you.
Ms. Herstead? Okay. We just go through the chair. Representative, or Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, you know, we typically do have a match request, and so is the city able to come up with some kind of funding for this project, knowing that there's some partnership with St. Louis County? Is the county willing to put in some dollars for this project too or not? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Lee. And Ms. Herstead, we ask these questions because our bonding dollars are very limited and the needs are great across the state. So not to be rude or anything, we just like to dig into the details. You may proceed.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Current to total, we have put in $74,500 of our own money, and with any funding gap, that is Rice Lake's responsibility to either seek additional funding for other sources, or we are prepared to come up with the rest of the money. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other further questions? Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. Could you clarify, please, a little bit more about the emergency shelter and what types of needs that's for? Is that a for people experiencing homelessness type of shelter? Could you just say a little bit more about that? Thank you.
Ms. Herstead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your question. So we actually have a real experience of a storm a few years ago, back in 2015, 2016, where many people lost their power for about a week, and these people had nowhere to go. So we heard a lot of generators in our area, but a lot of people didn't even have generators because you couldn't even buy them. So this was just a small example of what we feared to face at some point. And so this would be an emergency shelter that could be used for any kind of situation where someone is displaced. We see that we can fit in many scenarios, though we have that one scenario so close to our minds that happened just a few years ago. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Herstead. Representative Zalesnar, would you like to have closing thoughts?
Thank you, Chair Franson and members. This is just an opportunity to further advance EMS training, to facilitate a regional approach to our systems in greater Minnesota, and to also allow emergency shelter that's needed for people who don't have basements and need to have a safe shelter for unpredictable storms through four seasons in northern Minnesota. So it would serve dual purposes for a region, and urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Zalesnikar. And thank you for making your way down to the Capitol too, Ms. Herstead. We appreciate you advocating. All right, next up we have Representative Robbins with House File 306, and then we're going to go to Representative McDonald with House File 2470. So if you'll make your way behind, that would be awesome. Representative Robbins, Chair Robbins, welcome to the committee, and you may state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony for House File 306.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Representative Kristen Robbins from the wonderful district of 37A. I invite you all to come anytime. And with me, I have the mayor of Greenfield and our city engineer. And I'm just here to present the Greenfield Road Project. This project is so important to my district. Greenfield Road is the main connector in the city of Greenfield, which is a small city of about 2,900 people. It is unpaved, and it has been a problem for years, well before I represented this district. And so basically there's like very high elevations, very low elevations, and there's a lot of water that pools underneath, and it causes school buses to get stuck, ambulances to get stuck. It's like a big mess of mud, especially in the spring. And so the committee graciously did an abbreviated tour, and gave partial funding in the last in the 2023 bonding bill. And so honestly, the city has kicked in substantially for a city of their size, but we're hoping to, we didn't get the full request in 2023, so we're here to try to ask for a little bit more to help us finish this project.
All right, thank you for that. Members? Representative Carroll.
Chair, it's mainly more of a quick comment. I just wanted to
welcome. Yeah, we love your comments. Make it
just
quick.
I wanted to welcome former Plymouth City Council member and colleague Nick Rail to
Thank
the
you.
Committee. Apparently he thought he got a promotion moving to Greenfield, running for and get elected to mayor. But if that works for you, good for you. But good to see you again, and thank you.
Good to see you as well.
All right.
So could I turn it over to our
yes.
mayor? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Lee, committee. My name is Nick Rail. I am the mayor of Greenfield. As stated, Greenfield is a small city, 2,900 population, 20 square miles, of which much of the land is occupied or owned by the Three Rivers Park District, which reduces our tax capacity. Greenfield Road is the only road that nearly completely traverses Greenfield from north to south. It connects State Highway 55 to two major county roads, 50 and 10. The road was originally a logging road in the 1800s, and it's only had incremental improvements since. It's a collector street that serves a diverse housing stock, ranging from inexpensive 1900s houses to modern rural homes. Places on the road average up to 618 daily trips, and gravel roads are only meant to handle 200. The road is a challenge to navigate in the spring because of the water problems under the road. Groundwater or surface water management causes frost boils. Emergency vehicles get stuck. School buses can get stuck. Improvement to pavement with center lines and side shoulder lines will improve pedestrian safety, and this was only highlighted recently by a recent pedestrian death on the road. Stormwater improvements are included in the project, reducing erosion, improving water quality in Pioneer Creek and Sarah watershed, and also that goes into the Crow River and ultimately into the Mississippi. Phosphorus mitigation, oil, debris is caught before it enters our watersheds, improving water quality. Greenfield is also the only city in Hennepin County that has its own wastewater treatment facility. Our wastewater treatment facility has exceeded its life expectancy and will need major renovation or replacement soon. We also have renovation that has to be done to our water treatment facility and water tower. Greenfield has not requested state bonding as far as anyone at our city can remember going back at least 15 years. We wouldn't be asking for this money if we didn't need it. Given the other projects that we have to address, the fact that we received no LGA, no state aid, net contributor to fiscal disparities, we really appreciate you considering this ask for this project. The estimated total cost of this project was $5.5 million. We requested $4.3 million, and we graciously received $3 million in the 2023 bonding bill. The city's contribution would be $1.2 million if we received this ask of $1.392 million. And we thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair Lee, and committee for hearing us today.
All right. Thank you for testifying. Members, do we have any further questions? No? All right. Representative Robbins, final thoughts?
Members, I greatly appreciate you considering this request. I know that there are many needs around the state, but this is so important to be able to finish this project in the city of Greenfield. And as he pointed out, we looked until the 2023 bonding bill. We don't believe Greenfield has ever received a bonding project from the state. So we hope we can just get this one over the finish line. Thank you, members.
Thank you for testifying. Representative Robbins, thank you for making your way down to the Capitol to advocate for your city. We appreciate that. Representative McDonald, you're up with House File 2470, and then we're going to go to Representative Cresha with House File 910, and then Representative Joachim for House File 1230. Please make your way behind the testifying table and get ready for your presentation. Representative McDonald, welcome to the CAP Invest Committee. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franson. Chair Lee, thank you very much sincerely for giving us this hearing. I know you guys are very busy. The asks are plentiful, so we are grateful just to be in front of your committee. This is a wastewater treatment facility project in Howard Lake. Their water is filthy. Most of the residents, I think, drink bottled water or have other alternatives to drinking. And then also just the wastewater facility they have is outdated and not big enough. So like many communities, they need some help from fellow taxpayers. It's a big ask. It's a big project, but an important one, of course, to all of our cities and mine as well. We in Howard Lake. And with that, I have our city administrator for Howard Lake, Mr. Nick Hagemeyer, and Ms. Tyson here as my testifier, Madam Chair.
All right. You may state your name for the record, Mr. Hagemeyer, and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair, members. Yes, my name is Nick Hagemeyer. I'm the city administrator of Howard Lake, a community of 2,000, about 40 miles west of the metro. Ultimately, I think I could save about 4 minutes of your time and recall your friends at Silver Lake and point to their filthy water and just simply say, ditto. We have a similar size scope of project and need in front of us as well. Today we're seeking $15 million as part of a $25 million water treatment plant and as part of a total $40 million USDA rural development program. Like most of us in this room, we've been hit with great cost escalation with inflation over the last couple of years. In 2021, when we started this process, this plant was estimated at $7 million. Due to the fact that we have contaminated water, we are eligible for the state's Emerging Contaminants Program at $3 million, which is capped legislatively. At that time, that was about 50% of this project. Today, that's less than 10% of this total project. Therefore, we're coming forward with this request. Our current plant is well beyond its useful life. It has chronic breakdowns, and we have capacity issues as well. If we move forward without a state appropriation request, we will likely have the highest utility rates and the highest debt per capita of anyone in the state. Therefore, this is a matter of great significance to our community, not only for safe drinking water, but simply fiscal responsibility as well. So in closing, I simply hope that you consider our request for a direct appropriation, but frankly, as you hear it with lots of us in this room, understand that the infrastructure needs are plenty as you move forward with your session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Thiessen, did you want to add anything?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, members, do we have any questions? No questions for Representative McDonald on House File 2470?
Madam Chair, do you have a question?
Are you going through the chair, Representative
McDonald? I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I thought you called on me.
No. Representative Sexton.
I'm sorry, I didn't see it in the handout, but could this project be phased?
Ultimately, we are phasing...
Mr. Hagemeyer?
Oh, Madam Chair, I apologize. We are phasing this project. We are currently working on a $12 million street reconstruction project, and at the end of a water treatment plant, our final phase is a water tower and well project. This water treatment plant is the single most expensive part of the concurrence of projects, so collectively we are phasing, yes.
Representative Sexton, any further? No?
Thank you,
Representative
Madam Chair.
Lilly.
And Representative, you know, a lot of us are kind of fun on this committee as well as, I mean, yesterday when you had a bill up in Legacy, you sang and did some other, I'm just a little disappointed this morning. So I wonder if you can, you know, add some enhancement.
In the subject of time, we're going to pass on that request. All right. Representative McDonald, final thoughts.
Yes. Well, I won't sing for you like I did in Legacy yesterday, the railroad song. But, Madam Chair, I appreciate the opportunity. We appreciate the opportunity. And after 15 years being in the legislature, I realize that the bonding bills, requests, and what you do in this committee, sincerely, is some of the most important work that we do here at the Capitol. And it affects people's lives physically, mentally, and spiritually. And although I haven't voted for many bonding bills in the past 15 years, I will support this one because I recognize after a long time, finally, that it is some of the most important work. I was just going to break out in a song,
yeah,
Representative.
All right.
All I have to say, sincerely, this is some of the most important work we'll do here at the Capitol this year, period.
Well, thank you so much for that, Representative McDonald. I'm making a list and checking it twice. So. All
thank
right.
You, Madam
well,
Chair.
Thank you
Members.
Very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for making way down to the Capitol today to advocate for your city. Appreciate that. And I know former Representative Dean Erdahl does too. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Representative Kreshaw, you are up next with House File 910. You did not follow directions and make your way behind the testifying table. Next up, we have Representative Joachim. And then we're going to do Representative Van Binsbergen. Then Representative Kraft. So please get ready so we can just keep the line flowing. Representative Kreshaw, please state your name for the record, and you may continue with House File 910.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. Appreciate your time. I don't want to take up a lot of time in testimony. I want to turn it over to my testifier, but this is House File 910, which is the water and sewer infrastructure bill for Flensburg. And so with that, I'd like to turn this over to my testifier, Madam Chair.
Thank you for being here, and welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Chair Franson, members of the committee, hello. Thank you for this opportunity to testify today on behalf of the City of Flensburg. My name is Carol Merton. I am the Flensburg City Clerk and Treasurer. I'm here to advocate for Flensburg's request for the Minnesota legislative bonding to address our community's urgent water and sewer infrastructure needs. Flensburg is a small rural community in Morrison County, and it lacks municipal drinking water system, leaving residents dependent on individual sandpoint wells that are vulnerable to contamination. This issue is intensified by an active petroleum leak within the city, which Minnesota Pollution Control Agency continues to monitor. While corrective actions have been taken, a complete remedy is challenged due to the spread of a contamination flume. Residents deserve access to safe, clean drinking water, a fundamental necessity for public health and well-being. Additionally, Flensburg sanitary sewer system was installed in 1950 and is in severe disrepair. Televised inspections reveal intensive deterioration, including sags, cracks, root intrusions, and pipe collapses. These conditions have led to reoccurring sewer backups into residents' home, creating unsanitary and unsafe living conditions. More than 53% of the residents served by these utilities are low and moderate income households, making it nearly impossible for the community to shoulder the cost of these necessary improvements without the state fund support. The proposed $12.9 million infrastructure project will resolve these critical issues through a new drinking water distribution system, providing clean water to all our residents. A regionalized water supply connection to the city of Little Falls, ensuring a safe and reliable water source, and construction of a new water tower to support this distribution center. Additionally, a replacement of the failing sanitary sewer system to prevent backups and contamination. This project is essential for safeguarding public health, protecting the environment, and ensuring long-term sustainability for our community. The EPA has highlighted the dangers of water contamination, particularly for children, whose development, brains, and immune systems are especially vulnerable. Without action, Flensburg remains at risk for continued contamination and infrastructure failures that endanger both residents and our natural resources. While this project could potentially be phased to reduce the immediate bonding request, more than 50% of the total cost must rely on bonding due to the lack of available grant funding for significant portions of the project. We respectfully, request your partnership in securing this funding to provide Flensburg with the safe and functional infrastructure that our residents deserve. Investing in Flensburg's future means investing in the health, safety, and the resilience of our community. And I appreciate your time and consideration, and I would welcome any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Merton. Members, Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative, and thank you for your testimony, Ms. Merton. I am a little alarmed on your behalf about an active petroleum leak that's being monitored. That sounds like kind of passive action for an active petroleum leak. And I'm just wondering if the source of that, if that's a private company, whose pipeline that is, and how that's being addressed, if there's accountability and funds coming to you from that type, from an organization to help with this, because it seems like you're really kind of having to pick up the load. Thank you.
Ms. Martin?
Thank you. That was a great question. The petroleum leak is from an old gas station that had been in the center of town. That has been taken over by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. The owners of that gas station have passed. And it is being monitored by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency right now.
Okay. No further member questions. Representative Krisha, please, final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, members, what you have in front of you is a $7.9 million project, and a phased approach is also possible in this as we look forward to that. Let you know, this becomes very precarious for this community, especially this time of the year. They're working with clay pipes and still trying to get a lot of this infrastructure pieced together. And what happens is, as the frost comes out of the ground and all the things that we deal with, those pipes begin to crack and one of the big effects is the homes begin to back up with the sewers, and that becomes very difficult. So it's not just getting the sewer and water infrastructure, but also understanding the difficulties of a house that may go through that kind of damage and what that can do to property assessments and so forth. So would appreciate your help on this, and if I haven't said it before, I think you know my support for bonding bills.
Great. I love that. Thank you. Okay, well, thank you for testifying today and advocating for your city, Representative Krisha, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol and doing the same. We appreciate your time here. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, Representative Joachim, House File 1230 for St. Louis Park. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. My name is Cheryl, Representative Cheryl Joachim. And thank you so much for adjusting the schedule and for the visits you all have made out to our area. Members, this is House File 1230 today. This is a bonding bill for an important regional project in St. Louis Park near the intersections of Louisiana and Oxford Street, just south of State Highway 7. The road connects Highway 7 with County Road 3, which is also known as Excelsior Boulevard. The project is needed to repair existing infrastructure that was last constructed in 1973 and is a major thoroughfare that brings over 12,000 employees into the area, including St. Louis Park's largest employer, Methodist Hospital. The project will improve walkability and connections to transit as well as the Cedar Lake Regional Trail in the area, and there are just over 1,000 affordable housing units there currently and more planned. It will also put new infrastructure in place to remove pollutants from Minnehaha Creek prior to the discharge into the Mississippi River and mitigate the flooding of the street in the area during heavy rains. Members, the cost of the total project is $13.3 million, and the city is requesting $6.65 million in this year's bonding bill. With that, I will turn my testimony over to Mayor Nadia Muhammad of City of St. Louis Park, and then I also have our engineering director, Deb Heiser, here if you have any questions.
Mayor Muhammad, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Nadia Muhammad. I proudly serve as the mayor for the city of St. Louis Park. Thank you for the opportunity to testify for the Oxford and Louisiana area for St. Louis Park. This project will have a lasting impact on our community and the broader region. This project aims to build new sidewalks to fill existing gaps in our network, providing safer access to both residents and the 12,000 employees of Methodist Hospital, which is just two blocks away from the area and serves the entire Minneapolis and St. Paul area. In addition to the sidewalks, we are introducing roundabouts to improve safety and efficiency for pedestrians, cyclists, and transit users, while also reducing vehicle emissions by improving air quality. This project also prevents pollutants, as mentioned, from entering the Minnehaha Creek, which feeds into the Mississippi River, and it's an important source of drinking water for millions of people. We're also addressing long-standing flooding issues in the area, which is now required sandbagging by Methodist Hospital. This new infrastructure will include flood mitigation measures to protect key locations, with 4,500 vehicles passing this area daily, 83% which are from outside of our city. This project will ease traffic flow and strengthen regional connectivity. The total cost of this project is $13.8 million, and we are requesting the state to contribute 50% of the funding, with the remaining amount coming from local funds. Our city engineer Deb Heiser is here. If you have any questions about the technical details of this, so thank you for your support and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Heiser. Did you want to state your name for the record and add?
Deb Heiser, I'm the engineering director for St. Louis Park. I'm just here in case there's some deep questions and you have engineering fun facts you'd like to hear.
Oh, I'm sure some member here will shock us.
The question.
Got a few frequent flyers today, I'm guessing. Representative Scraba. And then Representative Carroll. Yeah, Representative Scraba. That's why I called your name.
Thank you. I didn't hear it. Looking at Chelsea, she's like, no.
I was saying that too.
I'm curious. Thank you, Madam Chair. To anyone here, your request is 6.913. The prospectus that you gave us has 6.5. The total project cost is 13.8. If you take 13.8 divided by 2, you get roughly 6.9. So the ask is for.
Our ask is for 6.5. I apologize for the confusion on that. Madam Chair.
Okay, so ask is 6.5. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that I know well this area. It's a good project, mm-hmm. and good to see you again, Mayor Muhammad.
Thank you.
My question is, can this be phased? It's a large ask.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Chair Franzen, and thank you, Representative Kara. I know we've talked about in the past, but it's been up for a few times now, so I'll leave it to Ms. Heiser to see if she thinks it can still be phased at this point.
Ms. Heiser.
Chair and members of the committee, right now this project already is a two-phase project. We're looking to do it in 2027 and 2028. Certainly we can take a sharpen our pencils a little bit more and look at that, but we're trying to work through.
All right, thank you. Representative Perez Vega, real quick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's great to see you, Mayor Muhammad. As someone who was born in St. Louis Park but came right back to St. Paul, to see that these roads were last constructed in 1973 and they're surrounding the Methodist Hospital area, I can only imagine how troubling that may be, especially due to environmental climate change. Do you see this as a top priority in funding right now?
Mayor Muhammad?
Yes, we do. It is one of our biggest priorities coming into this new year. We've already requested last year, and we will continue to come back for as long as it takes.
All right, thank you for that. Representative Joachim, Chair Joachim, do you have final comments?
Just thank you, members, for your time and attention, and I hope you include this in your bonding bill.
Wonderful. Fun facts, since we're all sharing fun facts, my middle child, Carl, was born at the Methodist Hospital, so that back happens, in the day. Yes. Back in the day. Lots smarter and wiser back then. Next up, Representative Van Vinsbergen with 1055, followed by Representative Kraft. Representative Kraft, if you want to make your way, Representative Kraft. If you want to make your way back to the testifying table and have a seat. Right, Representative Van Binsbergen, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Franzen, and members. I'm Scott Van Binsbergen. I represent House District 16A in western Minnesota. I'm here to present House File 1055. Just want to thank you for this opportunity. I'm here on behalf of Sacred Heart, Minnesota. Sacred Heart is a community that's about 125 miles straight west of where we are today on Highway 212. Sacred Heart's a small community. They're a dedicated community that have worked tirelessly for the last 12 years to install and rehabilitate its infrastructure to improve its quality of life for its residents. I'm not going to talk long this morning because I got both council members here from the community, and I want them to explain the project. Just a couple comments I want to make. They are This has been a long process. It's been over 12 years. This is the third phase of the project. So they've completed phases one and two, and they've spent about $19 million so far. The request today, as you see in House File 1055, it says for $3 million. It's actually going to be for $2 million. They've got some other, some federal money that's come in, some RD money, and some planned city debt. So I am going to, turn this over to both my council members here from the City of Sacred Heart.
All right. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Madam Chair Franzen and members of the committee, thank you for your time today. My name is Brooke Hebrink, and I serve on the Sacred Heart City Council. Joining me today is Carrie Gislason, our Sacred Heart City Administrator, Andy Stauffer, City Council Member, and Laura Osley, Funding Program Manager at Ball Lake Engineering. We are here to speak in strong support of Sacred Heart's request for $2 million in Minnesota legislative bonding to complete phase three of our critical infrastructure improvements. Sacred Heart is a small community of 500 residents located in western Renville County. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 28% of our population is age 65 or older, and 20% of our population falls below the poverty line. Over the past 12 years, we have undertaken an ambitious multi-phase utility improvement project to replace deteriorating water distribution lines, sanitary sewer lines, and storm sewer systems. This effort has utilized federal, state, and local funds to finance phases one and two, an investment totaling $19.3 million, although a significant portion of phases one and two were funded by our state and federal partners. Sacred Heart's contribution has left us with a significant amount of debt, of which approximately $8.3 million is still outstanding. Sacred Heart's net tax capacity is only 14%, limiting our ability to fund the critical improvements we bring before you today. Additionally, our current average utility bill for water and sewer is $138 per month. These rates will increase by at least $20 per month without your financial assistance. Madam Chair, I would now like to invite Councilman Andy Stauffer to finish the testimony.
You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Chair Franzen and committee members, I'm Andy Stauffer. I'm one of the council members for the City of Sacred Heart. The project we bring before the committee today is the third and final phase of this effort and is necessary to ensure our environmental compliance and to provide safe and reliable water to our community. This phase that we are asking for includes the following. It includes replacement of the city's water treatment plant equipment, parts of which were constructed in the 1960s and last updated in the 1990s. Replacement of our salt-based water softening system with a reverse osmosis system. This is needed to address our severe chloride discharge issue, which currently puts us in violation of our permit. The MPCA has set strict limits for chlorides to protect the Minnesota River and its watershed. A replacement of our current system with this new technology is the only way that we can achieve the required chloride limits. It also includes rehabilitation of our existing water tower to both meet OSHA standards and to remove the lead-based paint from both inside and outside the tower and replace it with a modern non-lead-based coating. And the final part of the project is funding for reconstruction along Highway 212, which included lowering recently installed utilities at MnDOT's request because of project engineering requirements, which also added additional costs to the city. Sacred Heart has demonstrated its commitment to responsible investment by leveraging local and federal resources to complete the first two phases of this project. We now ask for your partnership in securing the remaining funding necessary to complete this transformational project. The requested $2 million in bonding will allow us to leverage.
We are out of time.
All right.
Sorry about that. What you had to say was very important. So I don't want you to think we're being rude, just we have a lot of bills, okay? Members, do we have any questions? You did such a great job that we don't have questions for you today, so thank you. Representative Van Binsbergen, would you like to have closing thoughts?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Franzen. Just want to make a quick comment. I know you've got lots of requests in front of you today, and I just ask that you give full consideration to the City of Sacred Heart and the needs that are in front of them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for making your way down. And I know your time is valuable, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have Representative Kraft with House File 1229, followed by Representative Purcell for 1881 and Representative Lilly for 1599. Representative Purcell, if you're here, please make your way behind the testifying table. Thank you. Representative Kraft, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Larry Kraft. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thanks for hearing House File 1229. This bonding bill is for an important regional road project in St. Louis Park near the intersections of Zarthan, 16th Street, and Gamble Drive that is adjacent to Costco and directly west of the West End area. Given its location, the vast majority of the users of the project area are from outside St. Louis Park. The road is the project is needed to repair existing infrastructure that was last constructed over 30 years ago and is a major roadway that is used by 13,000 to 21,500 vehicles per day. But in addition to fixing the roads, the project does some other exciting things. It improves walkability and connections to transit in an area where there are over 900 affordable housing units. It will also put new infrastructure in place to connect the Loose Line Trail, North Cedar Lake Trail, and South Cedar Lake Trail, bike trails. So we're partnered with Three Rivers on this part of the project. And the cost of this is $8.1 million, and we're requesting $4.05 million. I'll now turn it over to my testifier, St. Louis Park Mayor Nadia Muhammad.
All right, you may state your name for the record and welcome back to the committee.
Thank you. Happy to be back, Chair. Chair and members of the committee, as mentioned already, my name is Nadia Muhammad and I am the mayor for the city of St. Louis Park. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify in support of funding the Wayzata Boulevard and Zarthan Avenue Improvement Project. This project, costing $8.1 million, will modernize aging roads and sidewalks, enhancing mobility for pedestrians, cyclists, and transit users while strengthening connections to affordable housing and businesses. Key improvements include expanding biking and walking infrastructure, benefiting over 16,000 workers and nearly 900 affordable housing units. Strategically placed roundabouts will improve traffic flow, reduce emission by up to 25%, and enhance pedestrian and cyclist safety. This corridor, serving about, as already mentioned, 13,000 to 21,000 vehicles daily, is vital to regional commerce. We are seeking 50% contribution from the state, and again, with the remaining funds sourced locally. We appreciate your consideration for this proposal and look forward to the opportunity to bring this vision to life. Again, our city engineer, Deb Heiser, is here today. If you have any questions about the technical aspects of this project, again, thank you for your time and your consideration of this, Madam Chair and committee.
Thank you, Mayor Muhammad. Member questions? No? Okay. Well, thank you. Representative Kraft, would you like to have final comments on your lovely project?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a great project. Regionally significant road, walkability and connections to transit, an area with a lot of affordable housing and connections to regional bike trails. So I would appreciate the committee's consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you for presenting in front of the committee and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today. Have a great day. All right. Next up, Representative Purcell, House File 1881 for New Prague. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Christy Purcell, I am a representative from District 58A, and I have the privilege of representing exactly half of the city of New Prague. My fellow representative, Terry Steer, could not be here. He couldn't get himself out of the Judiciary Committee to be here today, but I am here with our city police chief and our city administrator. I feel so privileged to be able to present this bill because New Prague has never come before this committee to ask for support for a bonding proposal. I think the folks in New Prague really pride themselves on taking care of their own. And so when I got a tour of the police station and heard back from Congresswoman Craig's office about the money that she had hoped to secure not being able to come through, I was honored to be able to be the chief author of this bill. And my Republican senator and the Republican senator for the other half of town over in the Senate are carrying the bill as well. So proud to get to be the chief author on this bipartisan bill. I think you have a handout with a lot of information about what the ask is and what the current status is of the police station in New Prague. And I think especially for me when I went to go visit, it was a little shocking to see how well they were doing with not the best resources. So trying to make this space more ADA compliant and especially allow for more female officers to feel comfortable and have their own space. So I'm now going to turn it over to City Administrator for his testimony.
All right, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Chair, committee members, thank you for having us. My name is Josh Tetzloff, and I am the City Administrator for the City of New Prague. Without taking too much of your time, we are here today to request your assistance with the construction of a new police facility as part of a larger public safety facility in New Prague. New Prague is currently asking $11.5 million for a project that is expected to cost at least $12.5 million. Today, our facility is undersized, outdated, and inadequate. Training spaces for our officers is in the garage with the cars pulled out. In the garage is also where our officers process evidence on a folding table. Next to that evidence table, we have a gun cleaning station on a kitchen counter and cabinets that were acquired used over 30 years ago. We also don't have space for a locker room and space for IT equipment, so this means that all of our officers currently use the same locker space, which is about a 10 by 10 room with servers in the corner. And these are just some of the beginning to touch on some of the areas that our department has needs. The new facility will expand and renovate the fire hall to create a larger public safety facility housing not only the police department, but also the fire and ambulance departments, which serve residents far beyond city limits of New Prague and our taxing base into rural Scott, Le Sueur, and Rice counties. It will also have a dedicated area for proper training, evidence processing, and facilities for our officers to properly serve our citizens. Finally, it will include a safe room for our community members that need to get out of immediate danger to be able to have a safe space until an officer is able to respond. This new facility will allow the City of New Prague to better serve not only our own residents, but as I stated, rural residents in a much wider area in a more efficient, responsive manner. As Representative Purcell stated, New Prague has never requested bonding funding from the state, and so we are very appreciative of even being allowed to present today. Thank you, and we'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you for that. Mr. Applin, did you want to add anything?
It's just available for question.
Okay. All right, members. Representative Carroll. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Purcell, for bringing this, and thank you for being here. I went through this in Plymouth in terms of refurbishing and reconstructing fire halls, and I learned all about incorporating safe procedures for washing and things like that. Can you address that, whether that's going to be incorporated here or not?
Mr. Tetzloff?
Madam Chair, through you, I will pass off to Chief Applin for that quick question.
Chief Applin?
Madam Chair, thank you. Yes, all of that has been incorporated into the design process that we're working with an architect for. ADA compliance, safety, OSHA, all of those things have been incorporated into the plan moving forward.
Quick follow-up.
Yes, and Mr. Applin, if you just want to speak a little clearer into the microwave.
I'll follow up later.
Representative Sexton?
Just curious if this project can be phased.
Mr. Tetzloff?
Madam Chair, through you, we have already built semi-phasing into the process. In terms of how we planned it so that it could be built on into the future, and we're only trying to meet our needs that are addressed more immediately now with potentially more phasing performed by the city in the future.
Representative Sexton.
Madam Chair, what was the total cost?
The total cost...
Mr. Tetzloff?
Madam Chair, through you, the total cost at the moment is at least $12.5 million.
Representative Sexton? Okay, thank you. All right, Representative Purcell, final comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Any amount that the committee would see fit to support this project would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much for making your way down to testify at the Capitol today. Thank you, Representative Purcell, for advocating for your city.
Thank you.
Members, we have four bills up. All of you are on this committee. We have about 16 minutes, so we're going to have to play speed round, all right? So we're limited to roughly 3.5 to 4 minutes per bill. Representative Lilly, House File 1599, you may state your name for the record and proceed, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Lee and members. The bill is familiar to committee. We've made this trip a couple times, and a few of you have been able to come over on a bonding tour and go up on the fire trucks, but it's actually quite a serious situation we have in the East Metro on Highway 36. They've redone the bridge over in Stillwater going to Wisconsin, and there's less and less stops on Highway 36, and they've become so dangerous. And this is one of the last intersections. It's very complicated with two highways. You know, so the highway, I should get the chair of transportation over there, but Highway 120 and Highway 36 are together, and there's multiple cities, so it's a little bit complicated. And but it's actually dangerous, and there's been quite a bit of problems. Hadley's been done in the last couple of years through this committee, Manning, and then Lake Boulevard on Highway 36. So it's actually turning even more into an expressway. So cars are, you know, moving fast from the Stillwater area in Wisconsin coming in and going back out and to get to their cabin in Wisconsin. But I appreciate your time this morning. I'm going to pass it to Commissioner Stan here, and he's a great, and we also have a great advocate here that is helping us on this project. So,
all right, you may state your name for the record. I am hankering for some Burger King sandwiches that you provided the committee during last tour, so I'm kind of sad those aren't in front of us today. Those are really good. All right, you may continue.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, good morning. My name is Stan Karwoski, Washington County Commissioner for the past 8 years. Prior to that, I was Oakdale Mayor, Oakdale City Council. 36 and 120, House File 1599, needs to be addressed for the safety of drivers, walkers, and bikers. It's been a constant priority for over 20 years since I've been elected on the City Council, going back all that time. It's a key corridor, as mentioned by Lily. It's 20% more traffic since the River Crossing Bridge, and actually almost 20% more since the growth in Washington County. That's traffic both ways. It's a regional use for commerce. It's one of the major thoroughfares. It's the Gateway Trail. It's a major intersection inside the Beltway, only intersection inside the Beltway all the way to Minneapolis. We've been persistent for 4 years. Your assistance would be great. We have on board Washington, Ramsey County, North St. Paul, Oakdale, Washington County. This bill will give us a great concept design and study, resulting in a modern-day interchange. Washington County will lead this. It's a turn-back project eventually. We can't wait. They don't want to invest. State of Minnesota, the MnDOT does not want to invest money. Washington County's willing to lead it. We just need a little seed money. Thank you for your time, Madam Chair and committee.
Thank you for that. Rumor has it Representative Lilly will cut his hair once the funding is approved.
Okay. I'm game.
Did you have something to add, Representative Lilly?
No, thank you, Madam Chair, and certainly the members on this committee are aware of the project, and it's a little bit complicated, yes, because it's cash that we need, but it really is, it's kind of sad that the locals have to lead on some of these in projects, and that MnDOT, in my mind, doesn't, you know, move the needle on some of these before they are, you know, they're actually quite dangerous. Representative Ryer is went to high school closely there and spent a lot of time at the Dairy Queen at the intersection. So, anyways, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You like
my
to
apologies.
Talk. We all do.
I know the clock is.
Representative Ryer, we are running out of time.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to add it used to be Mr. Biggs.
All right. Okay, Representative Lilly, final thoughts? You're good?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair and members.
Okay, great. Thank you, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Representative Sexton, House File 424, Representative Myers, 404, and Representative Reimer, 609. Short and brief for the members.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Representative Sexton. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, Representative Sexton, I wish to move House File 424, Owatonna Public Safety Facility, forward to the committee.
You may go on with your testimony.
Thank you, ma'am. I have lots to talk about, but I am going to yield to Fire Chief Ed Hoffman and and Chief Mundell, so I will skip that part. But the ask is a $1.5 million ask for pre-design and design activities, and this project will be phased, as you'll see in your handout. Please proceed.
All right. Please state your name for the record and proceed to whomever wants to go first.
All right, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jeff Mundell, and I'm the Chief of Police for the City of Owatonna. Thank you for hearing our bill today, and thank you, Representative Sexton, for your support. Our current police station was originally built as a bank building. We have retrofitted the building over the years to be more responsible stewards of our budget while also maintaining an ever-growing demands of our community and our region. But now we have come to the point while continuing to spend money on this building is no longer an option. Our current space is inadequate to meet our current needs, and its ineffective design and effects have even jeopardized operations. For example, large evidence storage for our vehicles is currently located in our police garage, which was the former bank drive-through bay. Following a torrential downpour last summer, a roof discharge pipe released water into the evidence bay, which could compromise evidence. And we use retrofit storage closet to conduct victim and custodial interviews. It's time to invest in this new space that will help us continue to provide these services to our region. Thank you for your consideration, Madam Chair, and I'd like to turn it over to Fire Chief Ed Hoffman.
Mr. Hoffman, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Ed Hoffman, and I'm the Fire Chief in Owatonna. As you've heard, we provide many services to the communities around us. The City of Owatonna trains officers and stores equipment for violent crime and drug operations, and we are the largest agency of a regional emergency team, including four counties covering over 2,300 square miles. Our city serves as the emergency operations center for the entirety of Steele County, hosts CERT and Skywarn. We provide rural fire response for over 200 square miles in our region. We are a modest-sized community that is relied upon to provide large community service to keep our region safe, and we are proud to do so. But we are asking for your help so that the cost burden of this asset doesn't entirely fall on our residents. Thank you for your consideration, and we are available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Members, do we have questions? All right, seeing none, Representative Sexton, final thoughts?
I realize it's short on time. I would like to emphasize, though, that I've toured both facilities. The police station is actually older than me, which is saying a lot. It's 60-plus years old. And the fire station is 108 years old. So they have done a wonderful job preserving and using these facilities, but frankly, they do not meet the standards that we need today. So thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you for advocating for your city, Representative Sexton. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol to advocate as well. Thank you. Thank you. Representative Myers, House File 404.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 404 is for the City of Excelsior, asking for $13 million. A lot of you guys have seen this project before. You probably remember this water. You probably remember the shirt that was discolored from one wash. Uh-huh. The downtown for Excelsior serves about a dozen cities with populations of about 50,000 people. So this is something that has a big regional significance, and I will turn it over to my testifiers.
Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franson. I am Councilmember Jennifer Carone. I am here with Councilmember Robert Tyler, and behind me is Councilmember Crystal O'Hanlon and City Manager Christy Luger from Excelsior. Also want to thank Chair Lee for the bonding tour last year. As you heard from Representative Myers, we are a regional destination for the state. We are proud to be a public amenity for Minnesotans, and we welcome all of our visitors. We are also quite small. with a population of 2,335 people, and we are less than 1 square mile in size, which is further limited by tax-exempt property. Almost half of the city is property tax-exempt: churches, schools, parks, and lakes. We're here today to ask for your help with our infrastructure needs. We are a very old city. We were settled in 1853, and while our water pipes are not quite that old, they are 70 to 100-year-old pipes. They are iron, galvanized, and lead pipes, and we are experiencing brown water, as you can see, and in the pictures on our fact sheet. We send good water out of our water plant, but our old pipes are turning it brown. Our sanitary sewer pipes are clay tile and cracked. This is an environmental risk to the lakes that surround our 1 square mile city, which are Lake Minnetonka, Galpin Lake, and College Lake. Our stormwater pipes are undersized and do not provide sufficient capacity for current precipitation events, which then cause localized flooding. We also have contaminated soils. As an old city, we've inherited contaminated lands. All public infrastructure projects since 2017 have required removal of contaminated soils to designated landfill sites, which is a very expensive portion of our projects. I'm going to, in closing, 18 years ago, Excelsior recognized that we had a responsibility to step up and address long-deferred utility maintenance issues. So the city developed a street and utility replacement plan. We responsibly issued $22 million in bonds since 2010. This is a remarkable achievement for such a small city, but we are now at the point where the debt levy and utility rate increases are unsustainable, and we need some help. We are respectfully asking for your support so that we can continue the work we began in 2010 and address these infrastructure needs. Thank you for your consideration, your service to our state, and your time today.
Thank you. Member questions? Representative Carroll and then Representative Scraba, and then we got to move on.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be very quick here. When we toured it last time, I was so taken by the state of your water that I was shocked that a city like Excelsior would have that condition in their water. Now I understand, and I appreciate you coming back again. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair. To go further where you went, if you have the same trench with your water and sewer, which a lot of communities do, if you're getting INI, there could be a chance that the INI you're getting is from the sewer line. So I can't believe that we're still discussing this. This is an emergency. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Okay, have a nice day. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol. Representative Myers, would you like closing thoughts?
Yep, two things. Just the regional significance of the impact out there, and half of the property is exempt. So they have stepped up and tried to do as much as they can. Now we need your help. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. And thank you for making your way down to the Capitol to advocate. Appreciate that. Last but not least, Representative Myers, or I'm sorry, Representative Reimer with House File 609. And this is 3 minutes left.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Lee and members of the committee for the opportunity to present House File 609 for you. House File 609 is a request for state general obligation bonds for the development of a regional public safety facility center in the city of Wyoming, which will house police, fire, and emergency operations, along with some regional training operations. Now, if some of you who have been on the committee have seen this facility as part of your tour, I will leave it up to my testifiers today to kind of outline the dire need for this project, but we are talking about safety issues, efficiency issues, and a number of other issues which are impeding a really critical piece of our regional public safety in Chisago County at large. So with that, I will turn it over to my testifier, Mayor Lisa Iverson of Wyoming. Thank you.
Good Mayor, morning. You may state your name for the record and proceed. Thank you.
Lisa Iverson, Mayor of the City of Wyoming. Good morning, Chair Franzen, Chair Lee, and members of the House Capital Investment Committee. My name is Lisa Iverson. I am the fourth term mayor of the beautiful city of Wyoming, Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. The proposed Wyoming Public Safety Building is about far more than housing police and fire staff. It is a space where public safety meets human dignity, especially for those experiencing trauma. This building is a place where victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and abuse can find safety, privacy, and the support they need in the moments that matter the most. Right now, our police department and all of our city facilities lack even a single dedicated trauma interview room. In situations involving victims of assault or abuse, including children, we must rely on neighboring communities like Forest Lake and Chisago County for a space to conduct interviews. This not only delays investigation, it asks victims to travel outside of their own community in moments of extreme helplessness. For some, that's added distance or delays become the tipping point that they choose not to move forward with charges. This leaves justice unserved and dangerous behavior unchecked. We need a space where victims can come without hesitation, where trained professionals can interview them in private, trauma-informed design spaces, and where justice can begin on terms not dictated by a building access or borrowed space where the distance becomes inaccessible. I'll go to our regional significance. The regional significance of this building is far more reaching than just the city of Wyoming. Our fire and police department serve as first responders, not only for our city of 8,000, but for neighboring communities. We are part of a mutual aid network. Our public safety team works across city lines, county lines, nearly every single day. The Wyoming Public Safety Building will sit directly along I-35 corridor, one of Minnesota's most heavily traveled north and south routes. The location provides strategic value for regional emergency response, coordinated law enforcement efforts, and access for victims or agencies from across the border area. This is not just a local facility, it is a regional asset, well positioned to support public safety across jurisdictions. We have not come to the legislature empty-handed. The city of Wyoming is committed funding our local share of half of the estimated cost of this project. The total cost is simply too much for the city of our size to carry on our own, not without placing an unreasonable amount of burden on our residents and business. This building is not only an investment in infrastructure, it is also in the people who depend on us during the most vulnerable moments. We are asking for a partnership, not only in funding, but in the shared values of our safety, dignity, and justice. Thank you for your time and for considering this request.
Thank you. Let's see here. Do we have any member questions? No member questions. I do remember, vividly remember that tour there and the lovely donuts that you served us as well.
So. Thank you, Chair.
You can tell I might be a little hungry. All right. With that, thank you so much. Representative Reimer, did you want to do closing thoughts here?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. What I would just say is right now we have our police in a pole barn, and I would ask for your consideration to pull them out of the pole barn. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Representative Reimer. Thank you for coming down to advocate for your city of Wyoming. Appreciate you. With that, our next meeting is Tuesday, April 1st, which happens to be April Fool's Day, and I am not having the gavel that day. So Representative Fu Lee gets to be the chair that day. I hope we don't have any practical jokes being played on us that day. I could just see Chair Lee doing that. All right, with that, our meeting is adjourned.